Welcome to the Zandbergen Report, where wealth strategies and investment wisdom collide, featuring your distinguished host and certified financial planner, Bart Zandbergen.
Welcome to our show of Dream Chasers and Wealth Makers. We are thrilled to be back in virtual studio today with a new episode of the Zandbergen Report. I'm proud to bring you the movers, shakers, and difference makers who are passionate about what they have learned and what you need to know today. And speaking about movers, shakers, and difference makers, Tish, welcome back to the show.
You shouldn't be laughing when you introduce me.
Well, I'm just listening to that introduction about things that you need to know. We just need you to get a certain mic, and then you'll be all set up. You'll be cool.
It's only 2 years in. Give it another couple years. Just technology guy in the family. I could keep going.
We could keep going.
No, I know, it's great. I need to keep you guys on your toes is what I need.
That's what you do. You do keep us on our toes. Everybody, every week, it's like, is she going to make it on? 30 seconds to go, she's on.
And have I ever disappointed you yet?
Not once. I'm telling you, it's just like the evening news. I used to be a PR person. We'd go down and watch the evening newscast, and 30 seconds, they're counting down the show, and the women and the behind the desk are running around, where's my makeup? Where's my script? And then 5, 4, 3, and it was like nothing ever happened. They never once missed their mark, so you're in good company.
Actually, I was most amused by the fact I look up on the Zoom and we're all kind of like jigging to the intro song.
We were dancing to the, it's good music.
We've heard it so many times.
I don't know if we're punch drunk or just, you know, it's Groundhog Day. We're just doing all over again.
Is today Groundhog Day? No, it's not Groundhog Day.
So welcome everyone to the show. And what Tish and I decided to do is continue our reflections during quarantine, part two. So that. Some help on where we left off. It's such
my what, everyday is a before you launch in, what kind of just anecdotal, you're in the field, on the ground, what are you seeing? Are people, because the whole country seems to be confused. We were overwhelmed in the beginning. We weren't sure we believed it. And then we hunkered down and paid the price. And then they said, okay, go about your normal life. Let's start to reopen. And we just went crazy. And all of a sudden, this thing, it never went away. So are we... Are people confused? Have they had enough? Are they worried? How would you describe your clientele and your circle before you launch into this? Your own world, just anecdotally.
So I'm glad you actually narrowed it down. Because to answer that with a broad stroke, I think, is dangerous, probably.
Yeah, right.
Because there's a lot going on, a lot of different opinions. But, I mean, I'll just speak for myself. Most of my, you know, inner circle, they're cautiously optimistic. They still proceed with caution, as do we, but optimistic that, you know, obviously we're going to get through this. It's I know that this podcast will be listened to at different times, but as we stand today, we were basically open, and now we're halfway shut down on with most things. So that has become, you know, problematic for some. And then for some of us that are a little more creative, we've come up with different ways. And, you know, I love it that restaurants are maximizing their outdoor seating, and that's been nice to get
nail
out.
Salons are doing it in the parking lot, you know, yeah. And all this stuff. Yeah,
people gyms are being creative. Are moving their equipment out. A couple of my gyms have moved equipment outside. So
yeah.
I love the fact that people have the ability to pivot and just, you know, take lemons and make lemonade. And
exactly.
I love that.
We're still on the air, even though you're not coming into the studio. We're still talking to the world here.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, another pivot.
What do you think, Tish? Or what's your world look like? Scared, over it, cautiously optimistic. What adjectives would you use to describe your inner circle?
I think people are adapting. They're, you know, adapting to a new norm, hope being that this isn't forever as we continue to go down this path. I would say we're continuing to feel like uncertain, like, you know, I feel like people don't know what's going to happen. And when people don't know what's going to happen, it causes a little bit of concern, a pause, being, you know, maybe scared a little bit, but suppressed with just unknown.
I think that's the key. It's unknown. We thought this would be for a month or two. Now it might be 6 months or longer. And we don't know what effect it's going to have. We can't foresee it, but we have learned to adapt and to keep going. It hasn't crushed us. It's, you know, we're still standing. We're still going. So,
and again, who knows for real, but, while some things may end in, you know, 6 months, 9 months or a year, I think there's going to be some effects of this. So it will last I don't know, maybe the rest of our lifetime.
I think so too.
Is handshaking ever going to be a thing again?
Honest to God, I wonder. And I go back to, do we really need to? Some of those things I say, well, gee, we're not going to do this anymore. Why do we do it in the first place? Can't we just say hi? Do we have to go back to like we're tribal people and we have to grasp each other's hands? Or is that part of communicating? I don't know. I'm with you, though. I think a lot of this stuff is, in ways we haven't foreseen, I think a lot of this is going to stay with us here.
Yeah, agreed. Okay, so back to our list. I'm certain we covered one and two. So we talked about, we reflected on clients, we reflected on our staff, we reflected on family. Did we stop there?
That's where I remember you stopped, family. You kind of went through the Holy Trinity. I'm Catholic, so I have to go through the Holy Trinity, the Father, Son, and the family here. You went through the clients, the family, and the friends. I think that was kind of the Trinity.
All brought in religion.
I had to. Bring a little religion in here.
So now we're going to go down our list. So the next on the list, we have 9 items. See how many we can get through today, or if we will need to do a part 3. So next is health. Tish, why don't you, I'll let you lead that one.
You're so funny. This is like your strongest suit. You're going to let me
lead. That's why I'm going to close.
And he defers. Tish, take it. Yeah, right. He should have asked me to take it.
Right. Why are you handing me the baton on this one? This is like, can you see in video, Bart? You should just show everyone your muscles for like 2 seconds.
Come on.
There's all aspects of health. There's physical health. There's mental health, right? There's all these different things that play in part. I think we're hearing a lot more of this coming up for people, and it's really interesting. You're having to be creative. So let's just take a step back. So what the goal is of how we're reflecting is saying, what is it? How is it important to me? What's the reflections in my life, and what's made me pause during this time? And so when you're asking about health, I think that it's been more important that, you know, with gyms shutting down and what I used to do, my normal routine, I've had to create different routines that's worked for me and my family. So it could potentially be that I go for runs in the morning and that gets my morning started, or I get fresh air because I've been stuck in the house, or it's a limited amount of getting out and less mobility during the day. I mean, Bart will make fun of me. You set me up for this. I wear one of those like Fitbit watches, and I'm always I do it because it's a reminder of me to make sure that I'm staying active and I'm getting up and running. But I swear, if I tap my phone in front of him, like I'll see his eyeballs like light up.
It goes on the list of top 5 most excruciating things.
yeah. No, so then I come by him and I'll like tap him. I'll tap the watch as if I need something, and I don't, because I know it totally bugs him. So it's fun. Like I miss the banter of this funness of being in the office together and working together, and the relationships that you have of health, but also like the mental health. Like I get to see people as bobbleheads all the time. I do Zoom all the time. I get interaction, but it's not the same as seeing people face to face all the time and asking people how they're doing and the hugs and the interaction. So again, just to add to that, I feel like there's pieces that I miss that I don't get every day anymore, but I've had to adapt. So go ahead and jump in from health on.
Sure. So that was great. And I really liked the way you broke down health from mental, physical, spiritual, and that's so true. I'm going to focus just on the fitness component of it, because that's what's changed probably the most for me.
Show them your arms. I need to see your arms. Come on. How many times have our viewers never seen your arms?
So anyway,
no.
from 35 years of the exact same, literally the exact same routine, getting up the same time, going to, for the most part, the same gym. Maybe there's been 3 or 4 different gyms over the last 35 years. To waking up one day and realizing that there's no gym to go to.
Right.
So I did actually just write a white paper or a blog on it, if you will. It's like my workout during quarantine. And it's actually pretty funny because there are many things that happened. But, you know, we've used the word pivoting. We use the word making lemonade out of lemons. And so that's what, for me, what I was able to do. A lot more outdoor training, which, quite frankly, a big component of that I really like. I don't think I'll ever change being out in the fresh air early in the morning, is pretty great.
Really? Then, you won't go back to doing the gym routine?
Well, it'll be some combination. It'll be like I have some gyms that are open now, and so I split it. So I do my more cardio stuff outside, and then I get to the gym, I'm all warmed up, fresh air, and move on in.
Am I the only person out there who seems to see more people out walking as they've been forced to be at home? I see more people going through my neighborhood riding bikes. Maybe I'm just noticing it, but it seems like there's more people out and about.
Did you know that you cannot get a bike right now?
You can't
have to go buy a bike.
Really?
You cannot find a bike. They are sold out.
That would make sense, right?
Back ordered. So you are not seeing things, Paul. People
are doing it. Yeah,
riding bikes.
Right. So in that way, it sort of woke us up. Maybe because we were suddenly concerned about our health, because anecdotally, it seems to be if you're healthier, you're going to have less chance of getting this, or if you do get it, you're going to recover faster, easier. It's those with underlying conditions who are at most threat. Age, obesity, diabetes, all these other things that are Western diseases running through our thing. So it seems like it woke everybody up, and that's a good thing. And suddenly people are trying to find ways to exercise in ways that they weren't before. I think that's a positive.
Yeah, I agree. And I think the topic of this was reflection. So I think the reflective part for me was being and Letitia may not believe this, but being a creature of habit that doesn't like change, you know, to be really either forced to change or what is it called? Change or die?
Yeah.
Die,
but adapt or die.
Or do nothing.
Or die.
I was forced to change, and there's big parts of it that I like. And the other part, and it kind of ties in, we talked about family earlier. My normal routine was, you know, leave it dark, gym, shower, office. So I would not see my family in the morning until I got home. And so now I'm back home every day, and that part's been pretty great.
Yeah.
I think we've all had to adapt, whether it's working at home or us trying to, you know, do remote podcasts and other sorts of things. And it's interesting how it does force you don't like it at first, but it does force you to be creative and in some ways come up with things you probably should have come up with before.
Yeah. All right. Let's move on to the next one. And it's certainly connected, but it's nutrition. So should we do a raise of hands? Has anyone done the quarantine 15? Anyone added the quarantine 15?
I'm going to say nutrition has probably gone through the opposite way. More people are eating junk food because they're sitting at home on the couch here.
What that reference is quarantine 15 is people have gained weight from boredom or whatever.
Anxiety.
I think, you know, the reflective part of that is really paying attention, right? Because if you're like Letitia and I have been pretty busy from both business and socially in our practice, then that has just completely stopped.
Yeah,
so now every meal is at home. And then at least for me, from my perspective, it's I've always been on might be surprised, but I'm a pretty regulated nutrition plan. But it's caused me to be a little more creative, right? Because I don't have the outlet of going out somewhere as my, you know, once in a while change up meals. How about you guys?
I love going out to restaurants. That's one of my favorite passions, and that's gone away. So I really fear the biggest negative we're going to see in our life is to take years for many of these little mom-and-pop individual restaurants to get back to where they were. I think a lot of them are going to go out of business. I think a lot of them won't survive, even just selling part-time. I think the big chains will and the fast food will, and that's shame. That's more the loss. The little mom-and-pop ones are the ones I fear for, the little fun ethnic restaurants that I love going to.
Yeah.
Tisha, are you cooking more, or is Brandon cooking more? Or are you guys dual task?
Yeah. So, you know, first when quarantine started, my situation was very different, as far as you know. So I was...
I could ask you to share, but...
No, I'm going to just leave it at that. Yeah. So I ate out a lot. So nutrition-wise, it put in a lot of different... I was eating items that I wouldn't normally eat, so that wasn't a good start to this quarantine. But now we're definitely like, you know, there was a point in time that you're like, you're eating a lot, and it's like snacks, and it's the little stuff that just add up over time. Or, I mean, I won't say drinking, but definitely drinking a lot of calories. And in the beginning, you're trying to, you know, sometimes for me, I use it as like the coping of like, hey, we're getting through all this. Let's just have a social drink here or there. So now, you know, cleaning my, for me, reflecting is like, okay, going back to like, what's important, what's my daily, I don't do that normally, eating back to like my normal routine. So it's kind of been, you know, you have to be really disciplined, like you said, Bart, to go back to like, okay, even though we're in a different situation, let's go back. So we're both cooking, but we're going back to meal planning like we used to do, and really eating more clean, even though, and this is actually because food has been more scarce. Through the process of
scarce, we can't get any food.
It's weird. You go into a grocery store and it was all empty at points in time. So
here's my observations.
We went organic and clean and that kind of thing. So I feel like the food I am consuming, I feel better about.
So see if this matches your own experience. I find that we're drifting back to comfort food. The type of mama, the spaghetti and meatloaf and chicken, the kind of more exotic fun stuff that we used to try and cook once in a while, or that we would buy. Either it's harder to get the ingredients because they're stocking less, or we're not going out as much. So we're just kind of going back to staples. I feel like I'm back in the Midwest eating staples again. I'm not eating the fun, creative stuff either at a restaurant or that we're making. I don't know if it's just because we don't feel like making fun stuff and we're tired, or we can't get the ingredients or whatever, or it's just something about comfort food.
Well, I'm coming over to your house then, Paul. I want some meatloaf.
Yeah, meatloaf, right? We made meatloaf the other day. Oh my God, this is like my mother's meatloaf here. Yeah.
I think because people also bought a lot of stuff, they may have bought things that are more, you know, canned or processed because they didn't know what this was going to look like if things were shutting down. So now they have thousands of dollars of food at their house. They won't utilize it, so they're eating it, and might not necessarily be the leanest choices. Mm-hmm. Right?
Canned peaches we had the other night. I'm like, when did we get these?
And thousands of dollars of toilet paper in the garage where to park the car.
Yeah, that's the
not me. I'm just saying I never bought into that.
I still don't know where that came from. It's like that was their biggest concern in the early stages of the COVID crisis here.
Yeah, and I went the times that I went to the store and I, you know, the shelves were out and I didn't panic, but I the thought that went through my mind is, why aren't people buying stocking up on alcohol instead of toilet paper? And then I'll tell you, it was maybe 2 weeks later, and I was at, I think it was at Whole Foods, and the cashier just happened to mention, I don't know, we started talking and she said, yeah, toilet paper's gone. Now the shelves of alcohol are gone. So
yeah, right. Yeah, I think there's no question. My assumption is alcohol consumption always goes up in tough times. When I had a bar a million years ago, if times were good, everybody went out to party. If times were bad, everyone went out to drown their sorrows. You know, so it's like the bar business was sort of insulated. It was always the last outlet. Now, and I say one of the mental health one. I think that's one that we're not talking about enough and don't know what's going to happen, because. Yeah. Every other crisis I've ever had to suffer through in my life, or that my parents went through, we went through together. You could go to church, you could go to a bar, you could go to wherever you hang out in your tribe, you know, you felt comfort, you could go to your parties and friends and stuff. Here, we're supposed to stay alone. We're supposed to get through this on our own without social support, and I suspect that's going to have an effect.
Well, it definitely already has, and I'm glad you brought that up, because that is a big component of health as well. My sister works in the mental health field, and she has expressed to me that it's just been terrible, and the number of cases have gone up, and I don't know the statistics off the top of my head, but depressions, domestic violence.
Suicide, depression, violence, everything. People cracking up.
Abuse.
Yeah. Right.
Either physical abuse or substance abuse.
Not just because they're confined and in close quarters, but because, and nothing's been written about this. We've been asked to go through when we went through 9/11, the story I always tell is I had a bar back then, an Irish pub, and I went down to the bar to see what was going to happen. I thought our business would stop. We were packed that night. It was a Tuesday or Wednesday night, as I recall, because nobody wanted to be alone.
Right.
Everybody wanted to be with somebody. They were shook up. And when people are scared or frightened, they usually want to get together in a group. They usually don't want to be alone. And we've been asked and told to be alone. Don't see your kids. Don't see your grandkids. Don't see your friends. Don't go to work. Don't go to your wherever you find solace. And I think that's one of the challenges of getting through this one. We're asked to do it alone.
And that, you know, unplanned, Paul, but that's kind of a lead-in, because the next item is time.
Yeah.
You know, the reflection on time. And I think most of us are finding ourselves with more time than we had before. And I mean,
yeah,
let's break it down. We all have the same amount of time in a day, but more time that's unaccounted
for. We're not commuting. We're not spending hours back and forth driving all over the place there.
Right.
And I think a reflection on that is, will we go back to that? And I say we... I just mean each individual, they may make different decisions. Are the business trips, for those that have to do business travel and fly across the country for a 2-hour meeting and then spend the night and come back, are those still going to happen with how productive we've been with these video conferences?
I suspect something in the middle. I think there's an urge to get back in front of people because that's familiar. But clearly, we found ways to do without much of that, and we should rethink some of that stuff.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And then I know we've talked about this over the last several weeks, but the additional time with our family.
Yeah.
For most of us, that's good.
Most of us. Yeah. Would you go to work? Would you get out of here?
Yeah. But I think, again, when we get back to whatever normal is, are we going to miss the time with our family? I mean, even though my family is not with me now, my dog is, right?
So yeah,
right. It's some of the stuff is pretty awesome.
Yeah, I would definitely agree with that.
I think we've learned to slow down, and I fear that will only last as long as the minute. Because look at what happened. The minute they said here in California, all right, we're going to start reopening, people went crazy. They flocked to the beaches in massive numbers. They started throwing parties. It's like, come on. You know, we were that desperate to go to the beach. We all had to go.
That's one way to look at it, Paul. But the other might be when you've been cooped up for 3 months, maybe there's a big rush in the beginning. But I think, I mean, I can only speak for myself.
Off,
I think that I know that I have evaluated how I have spent my time previous to this. And I believe that I will be more careful in things that I choose to do.
I hope so, because that would be a positive that comes out of a very tragic... I mean, not a lot of good has come out of this so far here, but through adapting, I think we will find some things that, through survival and adapting, we'll find some things that will stick with us, that we can use. I hope we don't just go back. In 19, I'm a big history buff. In 1918, went through the same thing. 3 waves hit. 675,000 people died in our country. And after it was over, nobody wanted to talk about it. Nothing changed. Oh, thank God that's over. I never have to do that again. My grandparents never talked about it. My great-grandmother lived through it. She didn't want to talk about it. Nobody wanted to talk about it. So it didn't, unlike the Depression, which changed my parents' generation dramatically, they would never have a credit card bill. They'd pay it immediately because they were just frightened something's going to happen again here. They never carried much debt, because they lived through those tough times. But the generation right before them, it was so frightening they didn't want to revisit it. So it couldn't go either way.
You could be right. I get the feeling that this is going to be an event in all of our lives today, children to adults, that we will always look back upon. And it's like before COVID and after COVID. We call it BC.
That's, right. That's the way the Depression was and World War II was for my parents. I mean, they were of that era.
I think this will be like that.
Yeah.
My parents were World War II children also.
Yeah.
And everything it seemed to be a reference to World War II, something to do with the war. And I think that our conversations will be maybe forever, at least in our lifetimes and our kids' lifetime, about this.
Yeah, I agree.
Okay.
I mean, I think as regards to just saying about time, just one thing on there is I feel like I've learned how to do things more efficiently, I think. And then also, like you guys said, as not having to waste as much time commuting, but I think prioritizing what's the most important and where do I want to spend that time, and then being really good at that.
Right. Yeah. I think we've all learned to be more efficient with our time, which has freed up time. All of a sudden we found extra time we didn't know we had in the book. I have no time. I'm frantic. But a lot of it was just busy where we're running around doing
stuff. Busy work. Or what's my thing about time?
Don't waste time. She hates wasting time.
Don't waste time.
That's my pet peeve.
She's using every second of it, right up until the time we come on here. Every second is being utilized.
He's walked out of my office like, why are you leaving? This is a waste of time.
Wow. Wow. That's pretty harsh.
Yeah, she is.
Yeah.
That's on a good day, though.
Waste your time. Correct. No.
I'm out of here. It's a waste of time. Time over. Okay.
All right. Friends.
Friends. Who's got time for friends? I don't even time for friends. I can't even see my friends.
That's all part of the reflection on friends.
Yeah.
To me, I think there's been, I don't want to come out across harsh, but kind of an evaluation. Like, I haven't seen these people in a while, and then evaluate, are they the level of friend that I thought they were?
I'll tell you one thing I saw in the beginning, and I'm not alone. This was other show hosts were anecdotally saying the same thing. In the beginning, this was so strange. We all felt so uncomfortable. What's going to happen is shutting down, and we've never been through this before. I found myself calling people or people calling me that I hadn't heard from in years. Mm. Hey, how you doing? How am I doing? I haven't talked to you in 2 or 3 years. Just like somehow we all wanted to reach out. It forced us to reach out. But now we've sort of lived to be isolated a little bit, and I think that's going to pare down our relationships again. I think mm-hmm. we've learned the social butterflies. I don't know that are going to go fluttering back around real quickly here.
Yeah, I think that there's going to be quite a bit of that, and I think at the end of the day, there's going to be friends. Like, I have friends now that even before the COVID thing that I may not talk to for 10 years, and then they call and it's like, we don't skip a beat.
No. Well, those are true friends. Those are your buddies you grew up with or went to school with or went to the army with or something. I don't know. There's certain people you connect with, and you, long spans can go. I have a number of friends like that from the Midwest, and I cannot hear from them for years. But it's just like when we get together and talk, it's like nothing has changed.
Right.
And so I wonder, my thought process is for the people that I haven't seen or talked to in the last, 3, 4, 5, 6 months now, as time goes on, what it would be like when we get back together. Are we going to pick up where we left off, or is it just, maybe we're not friends?
Yeah, I think a lot of this is going to force us to reevaluate a lot of things, our time, our friendship, how we spend all this stuff, because we've learned to do without. So are we going to go? I wonder if we're going to go back to spending money like we used to. We just would go to restaurants.
Are you reading the list, Paul?
Huh?
Are you reading the list?
I'm literally reading the
next item is finances.
It had to be. I think I'm not sure we're all going to rush back out and buy clothes and junk and stereos. I don't know, stereos. I'm dating myself. Nobody buys a stereo. Whatever you buy today here, we were consumer-driven. We had to have all this stuff. Now we've pulled that back, and I wonder if we're just going to rush back out and frantically buy stuff like we did.
Tish and I had a call this morning, a video call with one of our clients, and he would be on the younger side if he were to retire now. He's not mm-hmm. too far off, but his conversation was, what I really need is that I could pack into a duffel bag and then, go to an island. So
yeah, right.
I'm sure he's not the only one that's thinking that way.
I think a lot of people are thinking that way. Let's simplify our life. Let's deal with less. We've learned to deal with less, and if we have to move or make changes or whatever, I don't know. And that's bad for the economy, because the economy depends upon us always wanting the new and improved, the next, two more.
But yeah, I think you're wrong, because I was a person who would go to the store and shop physically at the store. I want the feel, I want the experience, and I would go. But I have been forced, without a choice, to buy everything online. And I think that alone has caused, me to think of things differently. And I haven't wasted half time doing so. But I mean, it's ridiculous. Don't stock my house. But there's Amazon boxes at my house all the time. If I want something, I just order it and it's at my house the next day. I don't have to wait. I don't have to shuffle around. I don't have to spend the time. If I get a gift for a kid, one of my kids' friends, they don't see what the gift is. It's just a box that just shows up. I bought a new couch online.
Wow.
Like, it's little things like that. I'm still purchasing things. I'm still a consumer, and I know I'm not the only one. The Amazon truck is all over my street.
Yeah. No, I see them all over the place, too.
I still feel like, and I'm looking at reports on revenues from these companies. They're still profitable. So I think there's going to be a shift in what people are buying, but I still think people are buying. People are still consumers, just maybe, like you said, maybe not the latest and greatest outfits if they're not going out and seeing it.
But so maybe it's impulsive buying, because that's what they count on. When you go into a store to get one thing, you walk out with 10 things. We all do that.
Like me at Costco. Exactly.
And now if I need something, I order that, but I'm not necessarily saying, oh, and look, there's one of those. Put that in the bag. And so that extra stuff that we used to just buy without thinking.
I think you're going to change that, though. I think because with all the technology, they're going to get better at marketing and branding to us and understanding this artificial intelligence of how, what we like and what we're surfing and what we're doing.
Here's a little shiny thing. You just bought that, right? Yeah.
What else do you like? And then introduce it to you. I think it will change. My personal opinion, I think you're going to see a lot more technology, a lot more artificial intelligence. And all, I mean, this is not where this is going, but I still think people are going to spend money. Is the answer to your question. They might pull back and be more conservative because people don't know where we're going, if they're going to keep a job, if they're going to lose their job, how the economy is. I think people are on pause more for that than I don't want to buy stuff. I think that there's
it might be generational, because I will say this. I've said for even before pandemic, as you get older, you buy less stuff. I don't have the same desire to get, for example, a new car or like I used to or whatever. Some point I just... I'll drive it a few more. It my priorities change. I find myself downsizing and simplifying my life over time. I'm not buying more stuff. I'm buying less. And that was before COVID. I think that's true of most of my friends. Right. At some point, you get off that consumer wheel and you just aren't as interested.
Is that because of COVID or is that because of age and demographics?
I think it's age and demographic. I think you downsize your house, you downsize your lifestyle, you get simpler. Most people do. And I think this has just accelerated that. I think it's also accelerated. So some people have said all this has done is accelerate changes that were already taking place anyway. We're moving from retail stores to online. That's going to change our buying patterns and our buying habits. Are we going to buy less? Are we going to buy more? Are we going to buy more because it's easy? Or are we going to buy less because it's not impulsive? I don't know.
Yeah, I would agree with that. Bart?
What you said.
Yeah, I'm on with that. All right, final thoughts.
I'm somewhere in the middle. I think I pared back on some and then I'm buying more of something else. So
is there anything you're buying more of these days? I can't think of anything I'm buying more of.
Or did you get the bike at Costco?
No, it's the scooter. I didn't get that yet.
Ooh, you're going to get a scooter. Huh?
It's cool. One of those, what do you call them, Segways?
Segway. An electric bike. Yeah.
Electric scooter. I want to keep up with all the kids.
Come on back here.
Anyone is going to keep up. It's going to be Bart. Yeah. Ooh, so much energy.
All right. So I know we've gone over time. Paul, thanks for letting us go over a couple of minutes. So thank you guys for your contribution. I think we got through our list, so wonderful.
It will be interesting to come back and listen to this a year from now, because we're guessing right now. We're reflecting how this has changed us or going to change us. We won't know until a year or two goes by, and then people will look back and say, oh, come on, didn't they see this? That's so obvious that this was going to, or that's what they thought was going to change. You know, it's sort of like when in the 60s, we all thought we were going to be the Jetsons and have flying cars someday.
Hey, Paul, is there okay if we have just a couple more minutes and ask one more question?
Sure. I think. Yeah, go ahead.
Is that okay?
Yeah.
Okay, we didn't address local business.
And that was the last item, yeah.
That is what you said, Paul. I want to make sure, because that's answering your question. I think that is definitely going to change. And Bart, I'll let you start, and then I want to say one more thing on that.
So, I mean, the thought there, the reason I put that on the list is I have given more attention to local businesses. And Paul, like you said, Paul kind of mentioned it earlier, like with the smaller restaurants, mom-and-pop restaurants. While we did a lot of cooking at home, I tried to support what I could and just to take out. Takeout for me is not the same. Part of eating out is the experience of eating out. But I have friends in town that own restaurants, and to be able to support them. But to me, it was just a bigger appreciation for what they do and the efforts they put in and the struggles that they've had. Local coffee stores, I mean, even coffee stores, gyms, hair salons, restaurants, just still continue to feel empathy for them as they're trying to get through this and trying to support as much as I can.
And I think that I want to add on that, like, I am making sure that, you know, we have a punch list, let's say, of 10 restaurants that we love going to. And maybe we have the ability to cook all of our meals at home, we are still ordering food from our favorite restaurants.
Good.
Because that's an investment in them. We love their food. We don't want them to go away. And we want them to know that we care about them, love their food. We want to support them through this time. And, you know, and like, you know, maybe when you do takeout, people aren't tipping. I always are making sure I'm tipping even more, even on takeout right now, because they need it as we need it. And it's like, let's keep them going. Let's support us. And so it's like this big full cycle of really making sure that we're taking care of one another. But I, you know, there's certain companies that, like you said, Bart, that I want to make sure that I support them, and participating in helping them in their business is supporting them. And so making sure that I can help them keep their doors open and in ways that I can, or telling my friends, hey, I love this restaurant, go there, that kind of thing. So I think there's going to be a lot of shakeout of companies that make it and don't make it right now. And I think this is a really critical time. And so I think we're going to see a lot of small companies that are just going to shut doors, and they're going to walk away, and they're going to disappear, and you're not going to see them again. And then there's going to be new companies that are going to just appear that are technology, and they're going to boom. So
the Pilates studio we're in a high rise tower across from South Coast Plaza. The Pilates studio that had just opened prior to COVID. Closed. They're gone. They packed up and left last night. I've seen several restaurants that I frequented. One that came on your show a while ago, the guy from Laguna that was, I didn't even get a chance to go down there. You know, really from, I think that's, if there's an apocalypse, if there's a really bad leftover of this thing, I think it's going to be travel industry, and I think it's going to be that. I think that they're going to take a long, I think you're going to see a downturn for a while, and that's a shame, because the ones who, we had somebody on from the restaurant industry a while ago, and he said it could be 30, 40, 50% of these small independent restaurants will fold, bars, restaurants, whatnot.
I've heard about the same.
The assumption is the big chains can borrow money. They're deeper pockets. They can absorb the losses. They can work out deals with the landlords. They can do all these things to survive. And the fast food are doing just fine because they've just switched to takeout. It's that middle, the ones we all love, your favorite little mom-and-pop neighborhood restaurant bar. Those are the ones I fear for.
Thanks, everyone, for tuned in. We look forward to being back in the studio again next week. Cheers.
Thank you.
Tune in next week for the latest edition of the Zandbergen Report, Tuesdays at 2 p.m. Catch up on our recent shows by visiting bartzandbergen.podbean.com. The Zandbergen Report is also available on iTunes, iHeartRadio, and Spotify. Interested in being a featured guest on our show, or have a question you'd like to hear us answer? Email podcast@bartzandbergen.com. Bart A. Zandbergen, CFP, and Letitia Burbaum, AIF, are registered investment advisors with Optivest, Inc., and registered representatives with Gramercy Securities, Inc., member FINRA and SIPC. Investment advisory services are offered by Optivest, Inc., under SEC registration.